What a fucking debacle. All right, we'll try again. Third time lucky, hopefully. So, for those that missed it, obviously, I'm Alex from the Tripod. Me with Jacob, we break down every single NRL game every week from a betting perspective. This week, we'll be breaking down round 26, last regular season round of the NRL. It's going to be a cracker. And I'll see if he can just comment and then I can get him into the feed. Last time, for some reason, my phone just froze. So, hopefully, this time round it'll work a little bit better. But yeah, like I said, last week we went 14-4 on best bets. Here he is. Which makes you about $1,000. We were actually up over 40 units last week, so which the $100 punter is $4,000. Jacob, how you going, mate? We finally got it to work. Jesus Christ.
I'm good, mate. Yes. Very good. Third time lucky. Yeah, you know, the odds were always stacked against us that we were going to get this rolling, because it has been a few weeks of both of us in our respective studios. And you look unrecognizable.
Forgotten how to do everything, yeah. So I didn't know whether you'd recognize me.
Yeah, well, you almost look like a respectable member of society again. So congratulations on that. Feel free to tell the followers anything about your trip. I thought I'll give you a super quick update. It's been a ripping, like, last 3 weeks, the NRL. So many cracking games coming down to the wire. We'll speak about how there's still, you know, four different teams that could miss the finals this weekend. But while you were away, we won a multi at 100-1. And last weekend, we actually won four different multis. And then on UBet, which we just give out our eight favorite value sides, we went 8-8. So, you know, not too bad sledding on my own there. So,
bloody hell, a pat on the back. May as well just leave.
But welcome home.
Take over.
Yeah. Happy to do some cooking together.
Yeah, that's it, mate. So it's going to be...
frying pan.
Nice,
mortar, pestle.
Yeah, good one. It should be a good one, though. It's not often where you get to the back end of the NRL season, especially the last round, and, you know, there's, you know, four different teams that could possibly miss out. So it's pretty exciting end to the season.
And you need to understand the implications of every game and which team is playing for their life and which team's playing for what, because, you know, motivation can be everything. We can talk about that pretty much in the lead into each game, pretty much what's at stake. We've gone through it like Inception or like bloody Alice in Wonderland down the rabbit hole, talking literally for hours this week about different scenarios. If this happens on Thursday, what might happen on Friday? If this team doesn't need to win, would they rest players? Could we multi this result with another result? I mean, just to give people an example, people think this is all sounds like, you know, a bit of hocus pocus. Literally just last weekend in our group, we spoke about how once Geelong, I'm going to flip sports to the AFL, but once Geelong beat GWS on Saturday night in the AFL, that Sunday night game with the Adelaide Crows, who were number one in the AFL all year, meant nothing to them. And they played against number nine West Coast, who had to win the game by 20 points. We gave out a best bet of, or a value play of West Coast to win by 20 to 39 points, paying nearly 8-1. And they did, you know, and like, you know, on paper, there's no right for the team coming ninth to beat the best team in the comp by 20 plus points. But one team was playing for their season, the other wasn't. So, you know, what's at stake absolutely matters. Speaking about high stakes, though, I thought we could quickly talk about the fight. Just from a betting perspective, I know everyone's had their 2 cents, but it was fascinating from a betting perspective. You know, I heard something really interesting today that was there were more bets taken. One online bookie said there was more bets on Conor McGregor than any other market they'd ever taken in the history of their book. That would include, like, bets on the New England Patriots to win the Super Bowl last year. It was an American bookmaker. That just goes to show you the public was absolutely all over Conor like a rash that you've probably come home with. And that's ultimately, you know, I'm not a fighting expert, but ultimately that is why the value was behind Floyd Mayweather. And I could break it down pretty easily why the public was on Mayweather. I didn't really like or dislike either of the fighters. I know a lot of people hate Floyd and they've got their reasons, but ultimately your average Joe who wants to have $50 on the fight, he can put his 50 on Floyd, risk his 50, and if he wins on Floyd, he wins $10 profit. Or he can put his 50 on McGregor, and if he wins, he's going to make, you know, over $200 profit. And, you know, when your average Joe weighs it up like that, it's a two-horse race, they're going to often lead to the underdog. And having watched the fight, you know, it really was hard to really have seen a pathway for Conor to win that. We actually gave out a play as well of Floyd to win by KO or TKO, which also cashed. So it's one of those classic cases where the casinos won, the bookies won, and the punters lost, unfortunately.
Yeah, bloody oath. And I mean, all you have to do, you don't have to be a punting expert. All you had to know was that 90% of the bets were on McGregor. And I mean, that's what we can see as well. It's a bit tougher to gauge that for Aussie sports like NRL and AFL. But moving off topic a little bit, you know, NFL season's around the corner, so is the NBA. And those sorts of stats are very, very easy to find. And pretty much you could make money blindly betting against the team that has 90% of the bets on them. So you could just see that, you know that the public's all over it, you know that the sharps are on the other side, and you could blindly bet that and you would make money. So yeah, the punters, the average Joe punters got absolutely smashed on that day. But yeah, the sharp money was with Floyd, that's for sure. But enough about boxing. You want to kick into this round?
There's a bit to talk about, there probably mate. Are a few blokes watching this who had money on McGregor, so we won't rub it in. But I did actually speak about that in last week's pod, how the bookmakers know which side the public money's coming in on, and they're going to move the value away from that side. So you don't want to go with the public. You've got to be a bit contrarian. Winning money, betting sports is anything but easy. And if it was easy, we'd all be doing it. None of us would have full-time jobs. Speaking of jobs, actually, one more thing before we start the pod. As you know, I'm actually under the concussion protocol. You used to caught up with me on Monday. Actually, playing a little bit, just a bit friendly basketball on the top day. But imagine copping a knee to the back of the head from Jason Taumalolo. That's basically what it was. I've actually come down with concussions, so that's my excuse if I'm slurring my words or anything like that. Maybe I'll just be in the zone. Maybe I'll need you to... Yeah, I'm meant to have 10 days off work, mate, but here I am, fronting up for the pod. So, let's get into it. Let's get into round 26.
Maybe take Jacob's place with a grain of salt until he can sober up, you know, later in the week. Thursday night, absolute barn burner. Cows hosting the Broncos. You can find this line to 5.5, 6 points. Broncos favoured and 40.5 the total. I like this one.
And what have we seen for the last 2 or 3 years? I mean, these teams play nothing but barn burners. And people who have been in our group and the link to find our group, it's a little bit tricky, but if you follow the link, you'll get there. People who have been in the group will remember earlier in the season, like second or third round, there was a tip for the Cowboys to win in Golden Point, paying 126-1. And multiple blokes got down, you know, $50, $100 on that. And our group was a big part of the over 100,000 that Sportsbet got fleeced for with those same game multis, thanks to a red hot tip in our group. And that was an absolute cracker, as were the previous clashes last year. I mean, the finals last year went to Golden Point as well. This one I probably don't see as close. Now, of course, the Cowboys pretty much have to win. If the Cowboys don't win, I believe they probably... Well, it actually depends on points difference as well. But if they lose by 10 or more, they'll find themselves in eighth position. With the Dragons very likely to be winning on Sunday, then the Cowboys will be fishing in September. So they have to assume... And even if they don't lose by 10, if they lose by single figures to Brisbane... A Manly win still leapfrogs them as well. So they pretty much have to play with the attitude that their season's on the line. That's the way they've been playing for the last 6 weeks. And that's what it comes down to for me. Is this team just worn out and fatigued, just having to play do or die footy every single week? Now, I know they got back Lachie Coote and they got back Gavin Cooper last round. They were very valuable to that team. It got them over the line against the West, because I think without those two, they wouldn't have had enough troops to get the job done, but they did, and we were on the Cowboys last week. Compared to Brisbane, we stayed away from that side, knowing that the Eels can be frisky, and that was just one of the most bizarre games I've ever seen this season. Yeah. From start to finish, I mean, 24-0 was crazy. You didn't feel like Brisbane was out of it, pardon me, though, and sure enough, they did score 32 themselves, and 86 right. points in a round. Mental. And, you know, this is an important factor as well. A good team, often embarrassing loss, always bounces back strong. That's what Brisbane is. Ultimately, I think Brisbane wins this game. As for the line, it's probably about right to me. And maybe with the total, I'm looking under both teams with the below average kickers and both teams good defences.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I would lean Cows. And obviously, I'm going to have to lean on you a little bit over, you know, just this first sort of week to get back into it. Because I'll be completely honest, probably streamed myself 5 to 6 games of footy in Thailand over 3 weeks. So I saw a little bit. What's that?
What else were you streaming?
Oh, can't say. But the Thailand laws are fairly strict, so I had to be careful. But, I mean, all I have to look at is, yeah, you're right. The Broncos got absolutely obliterated last week. We do like taking a good team off a really bad loss. But then I look at the Cows. It wasn't really a convincing win over a pretty, you know, struggling, was it a Tigers outfit that they ended up playing? They were down 16-6 at half. I do like the under in this game. I think these teams always play under games, but not only that, they both need the game like blood, more so cows, but, you know, Broncos to give themselves the slimmest chance of a top two and to shore up a top four spot. I like the under. I think 40.5 is high, like you said, with two bad goal kickers. What I like even better, actually, I trolled around a little bit today. The halftime line sitting at about 18.5, 19.5. I think that after the Cows' first half performance last week, they'll come out strong defensively, and so will the Broncos. They'll be embarrassed about their loss last week. Under 20 on Lux is a solid bet, I think. It's 19.5 or 18.5 elsewhere. That half point is very important.
Lock that in. Under 20, I was going to say first half under. I love it as well. Jordan Carr, who's a good kicker, but he's got a bad knee, hasn't been kicking, which has meant that Milford has been kicking the last few weeks, and he is woeful. Ethan Lowe is no better for the Cows. And yeah, that's a great team total. We've got to play that one under. And also, you mentioned Brisbane trying to shore up top four. Very unlikely they can drop out of the four. They'd have to
have a
points difference of breaking up by Sharks. But underrated fact here is that if Brisbane just rolls over and lose, the Eels probably beat Bunnies in the next game that we'll speak about. Then Brisbane's got a date with Melbourne in round one. You know, anything else they want to play with that too. So definitely motivation for both sides. Leads us to a beautiful under 20 points first half.
Like it. Friday, the only Friday game, actually. The Eels hosting the Rabbits. 12.5 point favourites, 42.5 the total.
This one's like a hard one to predict because you don't know what kind of Rabbits are showing up here. Yeah. They won three games in a row while you were away, and then you got back and they lost by 6 points. And I actually thought maybe the Storm could have been flat in that game, but the Storm are just absolutely ruthless. And I'm not going to take, as crazy as this will sound, I'm not going to take too much away from the Rabbitohs, because I think that any team that was out of the hunt, they have missing a couple of key players, missing Alex Johnson's hurt them. And once the Storm just got rolling, I mean, there were some tries there that were just some fluky tries almost, Cameron Smith and Munster both in the first half. I mean, they just really, they got out in front of a buzzsaw and they had really no chance. And if anything, maybe that just gives them the kick up the rear end that they need after being embarrassed to really come out and at least give the best account of themselves that they can. The way I see this game, I mean, the Eels have to win to be top four. Ultimately, I think the Eels get the win here. But I think the start is crucial. I think if Rabbitohs get behind early, they could easily get rolled. But if they can get in the grind, they do have a forward pack that probably can get in an arm wrestle with the Eels. They still have blokes like Burgess and Crichton playing good footy. So I'm looking at that Rabbitohs first half line of getting plus 6.5. I wonder if you could get a plus 8 if the line keeps climbing. That's actually the only way I could look. It actually is too many points to lay against the Rabbitohs to just assume that they would give up this week. You know, they've got strong leadership there behind Madge, team that won the comp only back in 2014. They're a proud team, I think, and I don't think they'll roll over for the Eels, but the Eels will be too good for them.
Yeah, I think so as well. And, I mean, the Eels need the game like blood, like you said, to shore up a top four spot. It's like the line seems too high, but it's really tough in that last, in the last couple of weeks of the season, you can always find some value with teams that you think, are going to put in and teams that aren't. It's all motivation, like you said before, but fuck me, Dad, I don't know what Rabbits team I'm going to get. 12.5 is probably too many, but you're playing an Eels side that needs the game, that's very well coached, and they could easily run away with it at the end, I think. Because you just wonder, with South, are they happy with their three wins in a row? And then, they obviously got absolutely smashed by the Storm last week. And is that just, they're just looking forward to the off-season. So I don't have a play on this one. I'm not laying 12.5 with the Eels. I would possibly think of taking, like you said, a Rabbits first half, because if they're down by double digits after the first half, they're going to roll over. The total seems pretty much right to me. If I was going to do anything, I'd probably take an under, a first half under or something. So that's the only Friday game. Then three Saturday games. I don't have much to say about this one. Roosters laying 22.5, hosting the Titans, 48.5 the total.
22.5 points. That may be the highest line that we've had all season, which isn't unusual to see a line that high right at the end of the season. And I mean, the Titans are an absolute pitiful case. And Nathan Peace isn't able to play in this one. Jared Wallace is out. Dale Copley's out. And that was after losing Ryan James the week before. And, it's an absolute mash unit side. And that explains the line being where it is. Roosters need to win to lock up top two, assuming that either Brisbane or the Eels would have already won, and I'm sure at least one of those two would have. But that's something to keep an eye on. If the Cows were to get an upset, if the Bunnies were to get an upset, or if the Eels only won a close game there, Roosters would actually have nothing to play for in this one. But with the system behind naming players as it is, you can only drop a maximum of four guys. So, I mean, the Roosters have still named the strongest lineup they can name, and it's far too good for the Titans on paper. But you know what? I just kind of feel like the Roosters don't necessarily do much more than what they need to do here. I feel like they will have one eye on the finals, knowing that they're probably playing Brisbane the next week, knowing that Brisbane played Thursday and they're playing Saturday. It would be an opportunity to take a couple guys off early in the second half. I think if anything, it was a great performance by them down in the Shire, but if anything, their focus is going to be on ball control because they were sloppy and wasteful with the ball and didn't complete sets and put themselves under pressure. So I could see them kind of doing that. And as for the Titans, you know, you just have to be careful sometimes. Nothing's ever as easy as it seems betting in the NRL. When a team is told all week they're going to get flogged by 20-plus, sometimes they're not always the ones that get flogged by 20-plus. And I think, yeah, there's absolutely no kind of – they're completely outclassed on paper. But every single one of these Titans players, I expect, will fight hard. I know that they'll take any opportunity to slow this game down and kind of find touch with their kicks and just try and complete sets and turn up. Because a lot of these guys are fringe first graders that, you know, want to be playing first grade again next year. So funny as it sounds, I don't believe at all that the Titans can win this game, but that is a hell of a lot of points. If it was to keep climbing and you could get like a plus 12 at half time, then they'd have to probably lose by three tries for you to lose that bet. And to lose one half by three tries, especially the first half's a lot. You know, the Titans haven't scored a try in the first half in like a month, which is crazy. So ridiculous. I think even they do really focus on their starts because their starts have been horrendous. So, yes, this is what we talk about being contrarian. Everyone knows the Roosters are going to win this game, but the value may be, the money may be made by jumping on the ugly duckling in the group and or in the flock. But the Titans could actually be the value.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, obviously, there's no way we're laying 22.5 in the NRL. We've said this many times before. We hate even laying double digits or even more than a converted try. We've done it very rarely this season. And it is because it's the closest comp in, you know, in the world, pretty much. So you're never getting a $1 favourites in the NRL, that's for sure. So, but yeah, I think you're right. You need to kind of watch. I don't think you want to bet this one straight away. I think you want to see what happens in the Bronx Cows game because, yeah, like you said, I think if the if the Cows end up beating the Broncos, then, you know, that 22.5 looks awfully tasty. And to your earlier point, I think I'd actually, if it climbs, and I think it will keep climbing. It's gone from 20.5 to 22.5 in the span of less than 24 hours. Everyone is going to be on the Roosters. No one wants to jump on that Titan sinking ship. If we can get 24, I think that's a bet. That would almost be a better play than plus 12 at halftime because I think the Roosters, like you said, they need the win. Points difference doesn't matter to them. They just need the win. And if they do, I think they'll start hard. They'll get out to a healthy lead, whether it be 10, 12 points. And then, like you said, if they're up, you know, 16 points with 20 minutes left, they might just pull a few guys. So I'd probably almost, you know, play the full game line rather than the half game line, hoping that the Titans just keep fighting and the Roosters rest some guys at the end if they're up. Second Saturday game. This is a cracker as well. Seagulls hosting the Panthers. Seagulls are 1.5 point favourites, 40.5 the total.
Yeah, so let's talk about what's going to be on the line in this one. If the Cowboys have won on Thursday, then this game is basically an elimination game. This is like a finals game a week early where the winner is in and the loser is going to be sweating on that Dragons game the following day. And you, as we said before, and we'll get to that one, but we will assume the Dragons will win that one.
Yep.
If the Cows have lost, it depends by how much they will have lost. But if the Cows have lost, Penrith are therefore already in the eight. And you do definitely factor that in because Penrith, you know, fought pretty hard and fell just short against the Dragons. And I didn't think Penrith were too bad last week. I thought that Sims strip and basically a strip and a 50-meter return try completely changed that game. And that was sensational. And that was one of the crazy moments among several absolutely ripping games last weekend. And sometimes that's the margin between winning and losing in these close games. This one could be bloody close, but I'll tell you what, I don't want any part of Penrith if they don't need to win for their season. So if the Cows lose, which is actually the most likely scenario, you could only look to Manly, because Manly definitely has to win that game. Whereas if the Cows were to get the upset, then I do see it closer to a 50-50. If anything, maybe I lean to Penrith. Maybe at that point, if the Panthers' season's on the line, Matt Moylan has to step up and play because Dylan Edwards is out, so they're getting a little skinny. This is one where definitely the implication from Thursday night is going to dictate which way we need to lean for the value, as well as probably leaning under with just so much at stake. Neither team's going to be letting in any cheap ones.
Yeah. Totally agree with you, yeah. And I think, yeah, if the Cows end up losing, I think the only way Panthers miss out on the eight is if they get absolutely flogged, I think, and lose by like 30+. But yeah, Seagulls, Jesus Christ, they are lucky to be still in it, aren't they? I mean, down 7 with, fucking 7 minutes to go, and they somehow pulled a rabbit out of the hat. So that's lucky win theory there. I think they'll get some confidence from that. They're back. Their season is back. I think they put in a good performance at home. Panthers had their win streak snapped. I think they won 7 in a row, I think. I hadn't, something like that. So, I mean, but they're both going to, I think they're both going to need the game. oh, my God, I've come back bloody sick from Thailand, so stay away from me.
But bloody bird flu or polio. What's the latest on Zika?
Yeah, Zika. That's right. No, they did say that. So they said... Yeah, you have to keep an eye on it for 6 months or something. But so Moylan named on the reserves. Even if he does play, I don't
usually
think
just get a cream.
Hey?
Just get a cream, apply that twice a day, and it goes away usually after a couple of weeks. That's what I found when I went to Thailand. But
that's good.
That's a good tip for any of the boys going to Thailand.
I'll borrow yours. So.
No, I used all mine.
I actually think Manly's the side here. I think at home, as a small favourite, I think they're the side. Because like you said, Thursday does dictate it, because the Panthers may not need the game to finish in the top eight, which would be ideal, obviously. But I think the under is the go here. I think even if the Panthers don't need the game, they're still going to put in a solid performance. Total's 40.5, similar to the Cows-Broncos game. I shopped around for that one too. Get an under 20 on Lux, same as the Bronx-Cows game. I think that's money. 18.5, 19.5 is everywhere else. Under 20 for halftime, I think, is very solid. I think both teams come out, with a point to prove. Obviously, Panthers want to get a win again to end the season, and Manly is fighting for their lives, essentially. So I really do like the under more so than I like a side. Late night Saturday, Storm Raiders. Storm are 10-point favourites at home, 41.5 the total.
Yeah, Storm make an absolute mincemeat of the competition. And the only side that has hung with the Storm in recent weeks has been the Roosters, and they absolutely are the real deal, the Roosters we spoke about before. I don't think the Roosters are going to peak this weekend, but the Roosters, I came out into the group and said just about a month or 6 weeks ago that a Roosters Storm Quinella paying $5 was good value, and I don't think you can find $5 on those two anymore. I think they are the best two. Brisbane will have something to say about that. But I just wonder, can you be going too good into the finals? I mean, look at the Sharkies who won the comp last year. They lost 4 of their last 5 games. And I think if anything, it just meant that they came into the finals with absolutely zero complacency for a side that finished in the top 2. Actually, the Sharkies were first all season and then fell back to 3rd. But, Melbourne has such good leadership that I'm not suggesting that they would be complacent going into game 1. But I kind of wonder if, it wouldn't be the end of the world for them to have a poorer game here or be challenged as part of their preparation for week 1 of the finals. They expect to win week 1 and get a bye the following week anyway. They've named their strongest side, but, psychologically, they know that they don't need to win. Now, compare that to Raiders. Psychologically, where are they at? That's anyone's guess. Having their finals dreams shattered by 2 Daly Cherry Evans field goals, essentially. They've got to pick themselves up and get to training and prepare, and they've got to prepare well or they're going to get spanked. Plus 10 is a pretty good line, but because we don't know what's going to happen, you could easily see the Raiders losing by double digits, of course. I feel like if anything, and I've said this the last few weeks about some situations, if you like the Raiders, just play them to win, because if they show up and they give it everything they've got and they lay it all on the line, they actually could win this one and at least go out of the season saying they beat the best team. And, the Raiders, have a better points differential than about all but five or six other sides in the comp. They have been unlucky and lost a lot of close games this year. They're fully healthy, and I think they will give Melbourne a shake. I'm really interested to see, speaking of getting a shake, how the Melbourne forward pack and the whole Melbourne team treats Soliola and welcomes him back to the NRL. I think that's going to be just worth the price of admission alone, what they might do to him. But they don't want to cop any suspensions, of course. But he'll definitely feel his return. But you know what? I think the value is taking a Raiders win in this one, because I think they'll throw everything at the Storm, and you just have to wonder, like, what do people like Cooper, Billy, and Cam play the full 80? I mean, young Tonomapea is sitting in the reserves. To me, it makes perfect sense to give Billy Slater a week off. He hasn't had a week off for a little while. He's getting on a little bit. He might not even play next year. No value with the Melbourne Storm for the same reason that there's not really value playing a team that everyone is all over. So only way I could look would be the Green Machine.
Yeah, I'm totally with you, mate. And it's funny because, like, obviously both teams don't need the game, but I still think this is going to be a very, very hard-fought game for both teams not needing it at all. There is some bad blood there. Obviously, Raiders in a revenge spot from, what, 5 weeks ago? Well, it must have been 5 weeks ago because you got suspended 5 weeks. So CS Oliola's back, like you said. There's going to be bad blood there. I think that it's not going to be one of those games where both teams don't need it, so they just throw the ball around. I think it's going to be a hard-fought defensive battle. Firstly, I think the total's actually slightly too high at 41.5. But the Raiders are definitely the side, and I think you're right on the money saying that, like, if the Raiders show up, they can definitely beat the Storm. And, you know, getting over $3.50 or whatever you're getting for the Raiders is solid money. I do think the plus 10 is probably still worth a crack. You might get plus 10.5 closer to game time because everyone's going to be betting the Storm. But, you know, my reasoning is they are going to fight tooth and nail for this one. They know they're not playing the week after. Injuries don't happen. Jesus Christ. What that is.
And someone's calling up to get the early best bets.
Dear Lord. The Storm, even though, you know, they've named their strongest roster that they possibly could, you know, are those key gun players going to be going 100% and will they play 80 minutes? You know, I don't think so. I think it'd be stupid too. Plus possible rain on the day, you know, before and all through the night and the day after. You know, catching a plus 10 in wet conditions in what I think is going to be a hard-fought grind, I think that's a solid play. And possibly even like a Storm under, because if they do happen to be winning late, they might rest some guys down the stretch.
Yeah, and think about a scenario where the Cowboys do get an upset over Brisbane and then the Eels and the Roosters win. So now the Storm know they're playing Brisbane, and Brisbane's been resting since, had their heels up since Thursday night. I mean, the Storm has to have one eye on that game leading into the next week. And, you know, whereas Raiders have got nothing to lose and might as well just throw the kitchen sink at the Storm, because what's the point of, you know, they banded together, the Raiders, and they did, you know, win about three straight to put themselves in a position where they could have made the finals. They fell just short in that game against Penrith a couple of weeks ago. But what's the point if they do come out and mail this one in and lose by 30? Yep. It's like they have no right to be in the finals. But I think they'll give a good account of themselves.
Totally.
That's where the value's at.
And there's, you know, 10 other teams that the Raiders could have played where I would say maybe they just lay over and not try. The Storm's not one of those teams this week. I think they'll really put in. Sunday, three games. What a cracker. Knights plus 10 hosting the Sharks, 46.5 the total.
Another one that it probably depends on what happens earlier in the round. I mean, if the Eels don't get the job done against Bunnies and it's not a lock, all of a sudden the Sharkies can get their season goal back on track and get in the crack the top four. And if that's the case and they're playing for top four, you know they'll bring it. And, I mean, let's not forget it is Knights at home. It's old boys' day. They've actually had a really positive season, especially a really positive back half to the season. I mean, we totally went against the Knights last Friday night, but that was just because we knew the spot for the Raiders that they were going to get their asses handed to them, and they did. You know, this week, as funny as it is to say, I think they missed Brock Lamb a little bit, the continuity they were getting with him in the halves. Trying to think, Jack Cogger, I don't think he's quite up as the same level as what the experience that Lamb's built up and the connections and the combos he's built up. So that is a downgrade. Sione Mataudi is still out with his concussion. Unlike me, he's not fronting up for round 26. So that's a loss as well. I know they get the Rostov back, but honestly, Sharkies have to win this game by a couple of tries, you would think. So really, Sharkies should be the side. But if all the sides that are above the Sharks do win, I do wonder how hard they will fight. You know, they've got a bloke like Wade Graham who got a really deep cork in his leg that couldn't finish the game last week. They've got Jack Bird with the dodgy shoulder. Why risk these guys on a Sunday before the finals when they don't even get to play at Shark Park, even if they do finish fifth or sixth? You know what I mean? So that's the danger. Don't put a heap of money on the Sharkies at $1.30 thinking that they're morals to win here. I know teams want to build momentum into the finals, but you have to wonder about whether they'd be better served to rest some guys, knowing now that they're not going to be in the top four. This would be their last opportunity to rest guys, because if you want to win the comp from the bottom four, you're going to have to win four straight battles, basically, like four straight grinds. So that's one to keep an eye on as well, is how much the Sharks want it and who's going to play.
Well, yeah, it's going to depend on the Broncos-Cows game, obviously, whether the Eels win, but let's say the Eels do win, and then, you know, the Manly-Panthers game. But I think even if the Sharks, you know, don't necessarily need the game, and the worst they can finish is sixth, the best they can finish is, you know, a fifth or whatever. Oh, sorry. No, they can still drop below six, can't they? In which case,
my point is, even if they did, they'll be playing in Sydney anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you'd be playing in Sydney. You could be playing at someone else's home ground that isn't ANZ, I guess, if you had to go to Brookie or something like that. And you probably don't want to do that. I still think that they put in, you know, pretty much no matter what the circumstances here, the Knights just don't have enough to compete. But like we said, we hate laying double-digit points. And, you know, the Sharkies will probably do the same. They'll just do enough to get the win. But I'm not taking plus 10 with the Knights when, you know, obviously they don't need it, but they're still putting in, whereas the Sharks will need this one. Dragons, 7.5-point favourites hosting the Bulldogs, 40.5 the total.
So no matter what happens, just to lay it out for people who, you know, don't quite know the ins and outs, haven't looked at it with a fine-tooth comb like we have, but this one's quite simple. No matter what happens, yes, earlier in the round, Dragons will be in if they win and they'll miss out if they lose. So the equation is very simple for the Dragons. Now, obviously, what happens on Thursday, Friday, Saturday will determine who's sitting in that eighth spot above the Dragons. Or there's even a scenario where... they're 2 points lower. So they're going to be in ninth no matter what happens on Sunday, but there's going to be somebody... Yes. They've got a good... for and against, and if they win, they will overtake at least one team. So the equation is...
Couple teams,
Now, they were great. They were excellent on Sunday afternoon against Penrith, and that was no easy place to get a win. Not to mention for Dukes to miss the bus. What a season he's had. Yeah, you know what, though? Like, and it's a guessing game, and the leadership group with the backing of Mary McGregor decided to drop Dugan, which is a ballsy move when you had to win, basically, to keep your season alive. But, you know, they have picked him this week. You have to assume that he's probably fronted up to the boys and apologised and will want to redeem himself. You have to believe that he does have a shred of pride left, and he still does have talent. And, you know, if I'm betting on the Dragons, I prefer Dugan to be in there. And, you know, the Bulldogs have actually played well the last couple of weeks, but they haven't, like, really played against sides that were playing good footy. And, you know, how much can you take away from the fact that they beat a decimated Titans side last week? I think that the Dragons will just absolutely tooth and claw and just, like, fight to the death here. And I think even if the Bulldogs keep it close early, the Dragons will eventually give them a reason to quit, because they won't give the Bulldogs anything easy. Would I lay -7.5? Probably no need to. I think Josh Reynolds hasn't been named in the starting lineup, but will do everything he can to play his last game in blue and white. And I would expect if Reynolds plays, that line comes down maybe even to a flat six. And at that point, I probably then take the Dragons -6, knowing that Reynolds might not even be 100%.
Yep. No, I totally agree with you. Dragons aren't losing this game. I don't know how the Bulldogs won games. Obviously, you guys know me. I despise the Bulldogs team. Obviously, they've won a few games since I've been away. Thank God I haven't been here to see them. But, I mean, it's like the Bulldogs that I've seen all season. They will struggle to put on points. I think that 40.5 is pretty high for this total because, firstly, the Dogs have an elite defense. I'll be fair to them. They have an elite defense. They have a horrible offense. Now, the Dragons, on the other hand, I think you're right. They're not going to try and put on a score here. They're just going to do enough that they have to do to win the game. I think that's going to be playing controlled footy. They know they have the better roster. I see a low-scoring game. I would even be tempted to... I think the Dragons actually absolutely locked down in defense for this one, get the win. I'll be tempted to take a Dogs team total under. I'm sure, you know, you could even get 16.5, I'm sure, is out there. You know, with an average kicker, I think that's a pretty solid play. But the Dragons will be playing finals footy. I don't know if they're going to blow the Bulldogs out. I don't think so. I think they'll probably win by, you know, 8 to 10 points, but I'm not laying 7.5. But yeah, I think under 40.5 is pretty solid. And I think that Bulldogs team total under looks pretty juicy as well.
Well, Mark, just to give you...
You're up.
How have the Bulldogs won 2 weeks in a row? They've won by actually throwing it around a little bit. So who knew that if you actually didn't pass to a front rower, first receiver on fourth tackle every set, you may actually score the odd try. And that's the only concern, obviously, a team that has nothing to lose. You want to play them under. And I love the point about the Dragons' defense. They will D up for sure, but that's just the kind of the wild card here is how will the Bulldogs approach the game. But one thing's for pretty sure for me is that the Dragons will be too good for them.
Totally agree. And then Sunday, crack it around off the round 26. We've got the Tigers hosting the Warriors. Tigers are 4.5, 5.5 point favourites, 45.5 the total.
You're saying it's a cracker, ironically, or two of the most disappointing teams all season. A bit of a strange one to end the round on. A little bit at stake here. I mean, Teddy wants to stake his claim for that Kangaroos jersey for the World Cup, and he probably deserves it. He probably is. He's close to one of the best players in the whole comp, to be honest. It's not his fault how shit his team is. But, you know, what are the selectors going to see for the next month of footy? They're going to see Billy Slater in a perfect system playing perfect footy off of a winning Origin series in the number one jersey, and they're going to have a decision to make. So Teddy was going to have to stake his claim there, as are a couple of the Kiwi players that want to play for the Kiwis in the World Cup as well. One of them is Sean Johnson, who obviously doesn't need to play well enough to get his jersey. He'll be playing in the World Cup. But I bring him up because he's come up lame after they played 85 minutes against Manly, and I think there's a good chance he won't be able to go. So if you do think about playing New Zealand, maybe they do win the final game of the season, I'd wait until Sean Johnson's most likely scratched. And then this line could honestly be 6.5. And then you might just play New Zealand, similar to the Raiders. You just play them for the win at closer to $3 mark. And if they show up, they'll give you a shot to win. And if they don't, well, that +4.5, +6, whatever it ends up being, wouldn't have helped anyway, because this team's more than capable of losing by 20. I mean, the Tigers, yeah, they're a little bit of talent there, and they've been turning up more recently. They've actually... yeah, been trying for Coach Cleary the last few weeks. So you kind of expect that they will turn up at home. With the Warriors, you don't know what to expect. What an absolutely putrid season for them. They did actually play pretty well for 75 minutes against Manly. And it just pretty much summed up their season, their ability to... I think once they conceded the try, and they're still obviously up a point with like 3 minutes to go, to kick it out on the full... I mean, I feel sorry for Kearney. I honestly do. So I don't really have an angle on that game other than I guess you wouldn't want to play an under, because I guarantee both teams will throw it around.
Yeah, totally. Both teams will throw it around. I just don't know the motivation of the Warriors. They had their last home game of the season and they put in, they're up 7 late and they managed to somehow butcher it. I don't know how the fuck you pick yourself up, fly over to Australia and then play the Tigers in the last game of the season. I'd really struggle to see how the Warriors motivate themselves for this one. Or else the Tigers, you know, last game at home, you know, a few fans will probably turn up. I think they actually do put in a good performance. Issue is, it's like, I mean, yeah, it seems like whatever team wins could easily fucking win by 20. You know, like if the Warriors show up and actually play well, Sean Johnson plays, he's healthy, they could win by 20. But the Tigers could easily roll them as well. And you know what? If I was to play any side, I would actually lay the less than a converted try with the Tigers. I think I can rely on them showing up more so than I can the Warriors. And I think they'll put in a good performance at home. And I just struggle to see how the Warriors pick themselves up from last week. That was their game. That was the one to win.
round off the season and they couldn't do it. I think they'll be down for this week.
It's a funny old comp, isn't it? And I'll put my hands up. 27 rounds ago, I said that the Warriors were going to be a top four team.
Me too.
And look at them. This comp is not easy to predict. And we don't have a crystal ball. We don't know what's going to happen each week, but we do know where to find value. That's for sure. I know you already mentioned it. 14-4 last week. Four different multis cashing. 365, Crown, Willie and Ladbrokes. We had multis on all different sites and they all got up. So it was a ripping weekend. Let's bring it home strong because this is the last week of 2017 where we get 8 games of footy.
Yeah.
Let's make the most of it. But let's enjoy it. Let's make the most of it. There's going to be some good games. There's going to be some good opportunities to make money. If you want to do that, you want to be in our group. And we've actually got an event going, but you'll find the link where you need to be to get our tips if you hit the link in this video. And that's where all of our official plays for round 26 will be posted tomorrow morning. This was only our initial thoughts. Now we look through every bookmaker and we find the best odds that are out there, every market. Honestly, it's been a groundbreaking season. You spoke before about Luxbet. We're going to play the first half under. There's honestly, I could name like 5 different markets across a range of bookies that aren't even offered anymore, that were offered during this season, that we smashed so hard that they don't even offer anymore. Like Luxbet used to let you bet on the number of tries a team will score in a game over under. They don't have that market anymore. You used to be able to bet on a halftime total on Luxbet. You can't anymore. You used to be able to bet a team to score 3 unanswered tries or not to on 365. These markets are gone because we were exploiting them. We were making money and our followers were making money on them. So, I mean, this honestly, we've had a game-changing season and it's not over yet. We're heating up perfectly for the finals. But our group is the place to find everything. And our website, www.tripodbetting.com. If you jump on there tonight, you can add yourself for the newsletter and add yourself before it gets sent out tomorrow morning.
Yeah, that's it. And it's not just NRL. I mean, at the moment, we've fucking won 9 out of 12 legs of a US Open tennis multi. So that one will hopefully cash tonight. That's a 12-legger. And there's tips from all sports in there. We've got experts on all sports in there. Everyone is making money. Just join the group. You'll see the stories. Blokes betting, $20 multis at the start of the season, weren't winning fuck all. And then they join the group. Now they've got a bankroll of like $5,000. So, and that's not a one-off. That's, multiple people. And most of the people in the group are making good money. So make sure you hit the link. Join the group. We have giveaways, free tips. But, I mean, you don't even need the giveaways. You're going to be making enough money by yourself as it is. So that's pretty much it for this week. So make sure you join the group. We'll release official plays tomorrow morning. So make sure you're in the group for that. And then we'll get into another hopefully winning round. I think we've only lost one round this year in the NRL, fucking 26 rounds.
Yep, good to have you back, mate. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Let's have a good round 26.
That'll do it. See you guys next week.